From psychology to geology and much in between, some of the brightest minds in science have joined the ABC to hone their communication skills so they can go on to better explain their research. This year's winners of the RN Top 5 Media Residency were selected from more than 150 academics from universities and research institutes across the country. On week two of the residency, we're joined in our Sydney studio now by two of RN Top 5, psychologist Dr. Alex Russell from CQ University and geologist Dr. Dominique Tanner from the University of Wollongong. Good morning to you both and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good morning, Fran.
Dominique, let's start with you. You're a geologist. You focus on geochemistry. Yeah. And at the moment, your work is, well, generally, you collect rocks and minerals from active volcanoes, which sounds like a pretty dangerous job. How do you work on an active volcano safely?
Oh, well, the most recent volcano I've worked on was actually 1.3 kilometres beneath the sea, beneath the surface of the ocean. So I was actually floating above an active volcano for 2 months, which is a little bit different to the volcanoes you usually think of that are subaerial or above land.
How do you actually do that? What's the mechanics of doing that? Working 1.3 k's beneath the ocean, did you say?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was part of an international team of 30 scientists, and we were on one of a rare research drilling vessel. So the boat itself was about 143 metres long. And so actually we could only walk around a third of it because most of the ship was this big drilling string.
So the ship is underwater?
Above
water.
But what we did is we had a drill, and we extended the drill 1.3 kilometres beneath the seafloor to meet the volcano, and then we drilled a couple of hundred metres into the volcano as well as that. And so we could bring up rocks from within the volcano onto deck, and on the boat we had these incredible scientific laboratories, so we could study the rocks, we could look at them under microscopes, and we could do chemical tests on board.
And so this is an active volcano. Where is this? What's this a part of?
Yeah, so this is the volcano I was floating above for 2 months was the Brothers Arc volcano. So if you know where the North Island of New Zealand is, it's about 400 kilometres north of that.
So the obvious question is why, Dominique? Why were you there? What are you looking for? And what will come out of it for humankind?
Absolutely. So I'm a geochemist, and I'm really interested in understanding how precious metals concentrate beneath the earth. Mm. So my research aim was to try, or still is, to try and understand how the precious metals concentrate in these undersea volcanoes. It was actually one of the first times we've been able to drill into an active hydrothermal system, so hot water moving in under volcanoes. So it was really rare and unique opportunity. Mm-hmm. But as well as my research, there was also microbiologists on board looking at the extent of life, and ocean chemists who were interested in understanding how the volcanoes have changed the chemistry of Earth's oceans through time.
Alex, I'm getting to you, but I'm pretty caught up in the precious metals. What precious metals are concentrated in volcanoes and active volcanoes, and why?
So the most common ones are copper and gold. And the reason they're concentrated there is because the types of volcanoes that I'm looking at, so what we call arc volcanoes, mm-hmm. they sit above sunken tectonic plates. So if you think about the Earth as having these rigid tectonic plates, and occasionally one sinks beneath the other, and the volcanoes form above these subduction zones have really wet magmas. And these wet magmas are essential to concentrating copper and gold.
And what about, I think you're on the hunt for critical metals. Just remind us what those are and why they're important now.
That's right. So as well as copper and gold, I'm also interested in studying critical metals. So that's lithium, rare earth elements. It actually changes depending on which definition you look at, but selenium and tellurium.
So these are precious now because of renewables, yes? Batteries.
That's right. So we have this sudden demand for them that we didn't have before. And that's because of batteries, solar cell technology, wind farm. So that requires new elements that we haven't needed before. And we're not necessarily able to recycle them yet because we haven't been using them much in the past.
So we need new deposits of them. Are you likely to find one in an undersea volcano?
Not necessarily in an undersea volcano, but by characterising these environments, we can see what elements are associated with metals that we're usually mining.
I see. Alex, as a psychologist, you dig into the mind, in particular into our national gambling addiction. And Australians are the, I didn't know this until very recently, Australians are the biggest losers in the world. Is that right? Per capita, we lose more than twice as much as any other nation in the world.
That's right. Yeah, we gambling is a big part of our culture. It goes back to time on the goldfields. But if you think about the Melbourne Cup, it's almost un-Australian not to bet on it. There's a big culture around that. We even have special laws to bring in things like two-up on Anzac Day. So it's a big part of our national identity. But we do spend a hell of a lot compared to everywhere else. A large part of this is our reliance on pokies. So about half of those losses per year, per capita, is due to pokies. And we're unusual in that we have pokies that are not in specific gambling venues.
You mean they're in hotels and things?
That's right, yeah.
Is that changing? I think you said half of the activities in pokies. Is that changing, new technology, changing how we gamble? You don't actually have to go and find a poker machine now. I would have thought most gambling now is occurring on your mobile phone.
Well, the biggest form of gambling in Australia is actually lotteries in terms of participant uptake of it. But most of the money is still through pokies. It is declining a little bit year on year, but sports betting is pretty much the only one that's on the rise. Race betting is just starting to rise in the last year or two because of all these new opportunities to gamble, specifically online and through smartphone applications.
In your work or in work you're aware of, is different forms of gambling assessed in terms of its damage? I mean, if one of the major concerns or major activities is lotteries, is that regarded as a more benign form of gambling? Does it have to be worried about? How extreme does people's activity around the lottery get?
Right, yeah, so not too bad at all. One of the things with lotteries is there's a fairly big gap between when you buy the ticket and when you find out whether you won or lost. So it stops you kind of going for bet after bet after bet. With pokies, each spin is a bet. And so that means that you can just continue to bet. And that's one of the major concerns about pokies is that ability to just completely zone out while you're betting. For some people, that's exactly what they're seeking in the pokies. And that's a major risk factor for problem gambling. One of our concerns is that sports betting is moving in this direction. So before, not too long ago, you used to bet on a game before it started and you had to wait until the end to find out whether you'd won or lost. We've now moved to in-play betting or being able to bet on things that occur during the game, so you don't have to wait until the end. And one of the most extreme forms of this is a thing called micro-betting, where you can bet on things like who's going to win the next point in tennis. So it becomes very high speed.
And in your work, I mean, you've recently completed some major work around gambling advertising and inducements. What have you found and to what end?
They're absolutely everywhere. A lot of it isn't really about... The gambling operators will tell you that the idea of having all this advertising everywhere is them fighting for market share. Mm-hmm. But what we find is that these inducements are related to betting on days when you didn't intend to bet. So we did some day-by-day studies with people where we asked people how much you intend to bet in the next 24 hours. The next day we'd say, how much did you actually bet and how many ads did you see? And on days when people saw more ads and inducements, they bet when they didn't intend to. But it also induces people to take riskier bets. So betting on things like a soccer game to be won by 3 goals, which is pretty rare, rather than just 1 goal. So these inducements are not benign, and our research is pretty strong evidence of this.
Okay, you're listening to RN Breakfast. We're speaking with top five scientists, psychologist Dr. Alex Russell and geologist Dr. Dominique Tanner. Okay, now time to test you both on your residency at RN. You're both starting the second week of the top five residency. What have you learned, Alex?
A bunch of things. So we've done some stuff on online writing, and one of the challenges for us is we write in a particular way as academics. Mm-hmm. So writing in a way that's more accessible to people who don't read academic journal articles has been quite a challenge. And working in radio, we did some exercises yesterday where we interviewed each other. We're kind of used to being interviewed by now a little bit, but actually doing the interview, I gained a whole new respect for people like you, Fran.
Did that change your perspective on how you answer? If you learn how to ask the question, has that given you insight into how to answer it?
Absolutely. And sort of working out, you know, how to take an interview in a certain direction if you want to is quite a challenge.
What about you, Dominique? Did you have a goal coming in and how's that going?
You know, I did have a goal. So I'm addicted to podcasts and I'm really interested in radio and telling stories on radio. And so for me, the thing that I've really got out of this is just practice. So just becoming more familiar with microphones and recording equipment. We had this great day where we went outside and we were just wandering around the city recording in the field, so we could experiment with how the microphone sounded in different environments and using different types of microphones.
Sounds like you've got a podcast in you, is that right?
I hope so.
Dominic, Alex, thanks for joining us. Good luck with the rest of the residency and good luck with the communication through your careers. Thank you.
Thanks,
Fran.
Psychologist Dr. Alex Russell from CQ University and geologist Dr. Dominic Tanner from the University of Wollongong, two of the five winners of this year's RN Media Residencies in Science, which is a really fantastic collaboration that's been going on for a few years now between the ABC and the University of New South Wales.